Blog Talk Radio.
Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I host this show. Astrology's astrologer, a.k.a. Sheila Odette, is with us tonight, as well as the Reverend Joanne Glass. We will be discussing recent world events and being the astrological lens upon them. We will also remember Elizabeth Taylor, with added emphasis on her Piscean compassionate nature. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sheila Odette.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Is all well in your house?
Yes.
Tom home?
The patient just arrived home. I just brought him home about 20 minutes ago. So.
Oh, good.
Everything's in good hands.
Good.
Yes.
Well, okay. I'm going to first speak about you as a nurse.
Yes.
Because I had it always makes you cry. The little baby next door was outside.
Yes.
The one you delivered.
Yes.
And, you know, the father said to that the miracle, and he said out on the pavement, a baby was born at a pound and a half, if the audience doesn't know, and Kate or none of the nurses thought the baby would live. And he's thriving.
He was sobbing.
He's thriving. He was outside today with his mommy and daddy and all the neighbors.
Well, he's one of the most emotionally beautiful men I've ever met.
Yes. And she is too. She is just gorgeous.
Oh, I love her.
And
yeah.
His aunt was there, and they told me to speak to you. I said I will on the radio to thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew. I must say right now that I knew that baby was going to live.
Yeah. Well, he is just looking at his little feet and swinging them and his little hands, and the miracle of life is just absolutely tremendous. So I just wanted to bring that up to you, Kate, because in your profession, we don't honor you enough.
Well,
no, they specifically said, please tell her how much we love her and appreciate her and send her love.
And okay, so that was what I wanted to begin with, okay?
Let him know I love him, too, and I love her, and I love the little baby. What's the baby's name again?
Connor.
Yes. Okay.
He's an actor, and he was playing Gabriel, and then I called him Gabriel all the time, and then he switched over to Joseph. So now I call him Gabriel Joseph. So it's really funny. I said, he's, the Technicolor color and the angel and all of it, and he's all that in a body.
Oh,
I mean,
this man,
he just is a beautiful voice, and she's a choreographer, and of course, I'm into that.
I know.
Okay, so getting on to more dire things. I thought first, since a lot of clients and people were talking about the fact that I had a client here from Arizona today, and they sit down and they go, Mercury's retrograde and the world has to stop. And I just go, whoa, I would like to clear up in my perception, in my opinion, what I think of Mercury retrograde. Mercury went retrograde on March the 30th, and
mm-hmm.
it will go direct April the 23rd, okay? It started at the position of 24 of Aries. Now, the thing is that when Mercury goes retrograde, it goes past its position, and then it stops, and then it comes back and hits the original position again, and then goes behind it, and then comes up and stops on the original position again. So the fact is that a lot of practicing astrology and all, say, okay, Mercury's direct. Well, in my practice, I don't go that way. Mercury's not direct until it comes to the position of where it went retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes up and it hits and it goes by and it stops at 24. Then it comes back and then it goes back. And not until it goes direct, but not until it gets back to the 24 position is it the full cycle of Mercury retrograde. Now, Mercury retrograde means that you should depend more on your inside source rather than your outside source. In other words, it doesn't mean that the world stops. It means if you are in some kind of position with a thing you're going to sign and you've been working on it for a long time and Mercury goes retrograde, it means basically go over it again. You don't have to not sign it. You go over it again and you look at everything. And because it means look internally, look if you really want to do it, if you really want to buy the house, if you really want to, sign the agreement, if you really want to do things, it says look at it, but look at it from an inside-out position.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, not going by what the outside stuff is telling you.
Okay.
Now, when we look at Mercury retrograde, I had a person here who's from New York who's into sound, and I thought sound is Mercury, okay? So, sound moves through your body and the walls of a room without being limited by those boundaries, but it also bounces around and is pulled inside of the room, inside of bodies, and is altered by the things it passes through. Think of how weird it is to hear oneself on an answering machine or hear oneself even on the radio. That's because normally you hear yourself through the bones in your head, your cranial acoustics, and when you hear your voice in a recording, it is literally deboned. It's resonating in the air. In a way, the voice has a spooky relationship to the body. It belongs to your body, but it's also in some way detached from it or exceeds it. Now, we're talking about Mercury retrograde. It often says when somebody's trying out for some show as American Idol, et cetera, people go, why don't they know they can't sing? Because inside their head they can sing.
Yeah.
Inside what they hear inside their cranial thing is what they can hear. So there was a piece in 1969 by Alvin Loser who unplugged his refrigerator, closed all his curtains, and waited for snow to fall. Now, snow crystals are uniquely scaled to break up sound waves. That's why it's so quiet and peaceful when it snows. So his apartment is as free as possible from any external incidental sound. Then he recorded the statement you hear, like he recorded a playback of the recording and the recording of the recording and of the recording and so forth. Instead of eliminating distortion, this process amplified it like a Xeroxing machine copying and copying and copying until all that was left is an image of the movement of the copy machine itself. And he repeated this until his words disappeared in the distortion. What was left was the sound of the room itself mapped by his speaking. So I think that, it's really interesting when Mercury's retrograde that this is what you should think about. The inner relationship to the sound of the stuff in your head. Now, if we're going to go on to a more major thing, it means now that Uranus is in Aries, Mars is in Aries, its own sign, Mercury is in Aries retrograde, Jupiter is in Aries, and the Sun is in Aries.
And Pluto just went retrograde, is that correct?
Pluto went retrograde. Pluto, of course, that the USA is the sun, the original sun is in Pluto. So the original sun in the United States, July 4, 1776, is Pluto in Capricorn. And in the United States of America's chart, it's retrograde.
Right.
So now,
interesting. That is interesting.
So Pluto went retrograde. So it's called the cold, when Pluto goes into Capricorn, it's called a very cold place. So on April the 9th, Pluto went retrograde, but that's not all that happened. April the 4th, Neptune went into Pisces. Mm-hmm. So Neptune is now in its own sign. And Pluto is, and what is happening in Capricorn, and that we are in so many wars, I mean, in so many things, and
yeah,
I just turn on the television for a few minutes, and, you know, they're yelling. There is just, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of talking, but there's no listening.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And plutonically, I want to talk about the Japanese earthquake, because the most interesting thing happened on March the 11th at 2:46 p.m. in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was the earthquake happened. Now, Uranus was at 29 degrees of Pisces, 57 seconds. Now,
whoa.
For people that don't understand astrology, for 85 years, Uranus has not been in Pisces, okay? And Neptune has not been in Pisces for 100 and some years, okay? 150 years or so, okay? So what we're looking at is the earthquake happened, Pluto in Capricorn, the tsunami, the waves came in, and it moved Uranus. Then it was 2 seconds from Uranus and Aries, and it moved into Aries, and that's when the nuclear reactors went.
Oh, yeah.
So then you go, oh, my God. You know, you look at astrology and you go, what happened globally when you're looking at the huge planets, okay? Now, what happened globally was then Neptune is moving out of the sign of Aquarius and into Pisces. Now we're talking about the Japanese people, where it happened. And what she saw with the Japanese people is no looting, no people. The people went in when we have a disaster here, and the people, and there's looting, and there's people all every time they put a shot on television, these people were sharing, sitting calmly, talking.
Mm-hmm.
There was a 72-year-old people. These people were cleaning out their house, and they said, after we clean out our house, then we go and we'll clean out the neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
There is just around the Japanese civilization a sense of Piscean energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's almost like the Amish when we had that tragedy here at Nickel Mine, when the five Amish children were shot, the little girls. And there was such a sense of forgiveness and such a sense of not blaming and going to the shooter's wife and saying she wasn't to blame. And that's Neptune in Pisces.
Yes, it is.
That's that whole kind of thing. And then one of the television...
Neptune rules Pisces. You didn't mention that.
Yes. I did, didn't
yes.
I?
I think you're okay. I want to be sure that was...
Well, I'm sorry, Reverend. I did, I think.
I want to be sure to emphasize, because that's a big one.
Well, they said that there was one wonderful thing where they saw three young men grab food and run away from a shop, and they asked the shop owner about it, and they said, oh, who with the Japanese there, you have an example. And he says, no, you misunderstand, the shop owner said. Those looters weren't Japanese. They were foreigners.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was quite... quite interesting. So we have this whole thing that was the introduction to Uranus into Aries, and then right after that, and you know, I look at Aries like the battlefield, and then you look at Pisces like that time afterwards when the fog is up and the priest is walking through and everything's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, and they're saying blessings and all of these things, and it's declared peaceful on the battlefield for each side to go and get their wounded.
Yes.
So that's almost like, I think of the movie Braveheart, because, you know, that's the kind of movie that was. It was all of this warrior and this fighting, but the beginning of the movie, if anybody remembers Braveheart, he walked into that barn and there were all these bodies hanging there, the little boy. And it was almost like, and then his whole family got killed. And then the mentor rode in over the hill, which was an actual person in the movie, who was going to teach him all of the things that he needed, you know, to be who he was going to be. But there was still a refusal. He went back to his village and married his girlhood sweetheart. And not until she got killed was there a real spring to the warriorness in the Aries, you know? It's not until that happened that became so. So then, you know, when you're looking at, does anybody else want to say anything? I'm really...
No, go ahead.
No, good.
No, you're on a roll.
Well, again, we're looking at Venus and Uranus in Aries and Mars in Aries and Mercury's in Aries and Jupiter in Aries and the Sun in Aries. And there's this whole thing around anger. And I read a beautiful thing. I think that one of the most beautiful things that I've ever heard about the Aries process. And it's in a book called The Wise Man's Fears. I must say that his name is Patrick Rufus. Rufus, and mm-hmm. his second book, and not since Jerry Goodkind has there been, and I keep looking at the back flap and go, how old are you, you know? These kids are born like cable ready, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's a thing in it about anger, and he says anger is not a feeling. This girl is talking. It is a desire. It is, you know, we think about all this area. It is a making. It is a wanting of life. And she says, like all this airy stuff that's up now, anger is what makes the grass press up through the ground to reach the sun. All mm-hmm. things that live have anger. It is the fire in them that makes them want to move and grow and do and make.
Well, and, I can relate to that, yeah.
Yes. And then, of course, they talk about the sexualness of a man and woman with anger. And afterwards, a woman goes to sleep, and she says, because we fill ourselves with the man's anger, which I thought was interesting. Does that mean women have no anger? No, all things have anger. But women have many uses for their anger.
And I love that.
And men have more anger than they can use too much for their own good.
Right.
So how
right.
can one have too much of the desire to live and grow and make? And then, she talks about that men they approach things with anger right away, you know?
Yeah.
So he said, well, is anger the right word? And she says, yes, anger is the right word. All things have anger, and a stone has less anger than a budding tree in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the
mm-hmm.
same with people. Some have a great deal of it, which is why, you know, the whole sexual act and all, and then she said, and some, you know, have less. But I thought, what a definition of the Aryan thing that we're all going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jupiter, whatever you attract or focus on, Jupiter and Aries is going to come back instantly. Now, I had, this week I'm working, I have worked with Michael Hamilton, who is, they're in trial now for James Earl Ray, you know, James Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for the Sweat Lodge. And so...
We had a show, James Arthur Ray.
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah, we had a show a little while ago and about that.
Mm-hmm.
With you. May I clarify? Go ahead.
Well, if we're looking at James Ray's chart, he is the sun in Sagittarius. Saturn in between... in 14 degrees Sag, the moon in Sagittarius, and Mercury in Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking Saturn, you know, is, you know, some kind of trial that is going to go on in the life. It happens to be actually this physical trial. So what is happening is in this trial, Michael Hamilton, I've done work with him, so I happen to know that he has Mercury retrograde in his chart.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on the phone Sunday because he was supposed to go on the stand on Tuesday, you know, looking at the astrological things that were going on. I said, Mercury is retrograde. Now,
mm-hmm.
This is excitation. I said, you know, you probably won't have to speak. And he said, what do you mean? I'm going to be on the stand. I said, because you have Mercury retrograde. And by excitation,
mm-hmm.
that's going to stop it. Do you know what happened?
Yeah, tell me.
The trial stopped.
It stopped completely.
Why?
For 2 days.
The prosecution withheld evidence of an expert witness. The way the Sweat Lodge was built, it was built with willows, and then over top of the willows in the Sweat Lodge, there was put the blankets. over top the blankets were put a tarps. Then there was a need for it to be hotter, so they put a complete tarp over the entire tarps.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put rocks down at the bottom around the bottom edges. Now, we're talking about something that is like you put a plastic bag over your head.
Yeah.
So there is no way for air to escape. And then you continually do 8 rounds, and you continually put the grandfather or the rocks in it. And then what happens with that is you pour water every time, and these people are getting no oxygen. I mean, really.
Yes.
And
that was an improper way to do the sweat lodge. That's the way James Arthur Ray did it.
Well, what the whole thing is going with is they're trying to blame Angel Valley and the people that built the sweat lodge. Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't take responsibility for anything.
The point was is they're saying that at one corner there was a heat wall where these
uh-huh.
people were sitting, and the heat wall created a thing where they couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
But that was, they were on the ground in the 5th round, and somebody
mm-hmm.
told James Arthur Ray they were on the ground, and he said the whole retreat is about pushing forward and going on full.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the woman that was here from Arizona said to me that they do sweat lodges all the time in Santa Fe and with Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And there are windows in the sweat lodge, and they're all always allowed to take water in.
Yes.
They're not told that they can't have water. And these people were on a vision quest for 3 days. And they were, you know, usually do a sweat lodge and then a vision quest. It's the other way around. This was a vision quest of no food and dehydration and then a sweat lodge.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the interesting thing is that Mercury went retrograde and the trial stopped. And
yeah,
now it's going to be stopped until Wednesday. It was supposed to be a mistrial. But, you know, the one thing that you always have to look at a Jupiter-Moon conjunction in Sagittarius, there is a certain amount of luck.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a certain amount of luck, you
mm-hmm.
know. Jupiter rules it. Jupiter's in Aries. Everything, all this stuff in Aries is right trining off of James Arthur Ray's Sun, Saturn, Moon, and Mercury
mm-hmm.
in Sag. And all, this whole Aries thing is a trine to that. So even if he didn't declare a mistrial today, and of course Michael Hamilton's not going on, or Amira, which is his wife, they won't be going on till next week or later.
Mm-hmm.
But that is an example of Mercury retrograde. That is
yeah.
an example of going back over information. And now
yeah.
what they're trying to bring in is they work in the spiritual world, and that they're a church, and that now the defense is trying to bring in all kinds of things about what kind of church it was.
Which,
and that they shouldn't be charging money for anything.
Oh, because it's a church.
Well, you know, if you're running a workshop on in any kind of place,
uh-huh.
you have to, you know, there's food, there's paying the person that's coming in, there's every kind of thing. You can't run a workshop without charging. Not in
no.
this day and age. It's an impossible thing to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, well, very few people. You know, you have to charge, and to say that they shouldn't be charging, I'd like to ask them if they would charge. If they were a church, the answer would be yes.
Well,
the
answer to that would be, how much are you charging James Arthur Ray for your counseling?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably $1,000 an hour or more.
How much is he charging?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
why is that when you talk about luck, is that James Arthur Ray's luck?
Jupiter rules Sagittarius, and Sagittarius,
yeah.
that energy, double Sagittarius, is supposed to have a certain amount of luck. Another definition of Sagittarius is, that is what I said before. He had been, actually Proctor was on today, which was very interesting. And James calls Arthur his mentor. And he said, mm-hmm. I don't say I'm his mentor. He said, I taught him how to, and Proctor is the one that was with the secret, and so was,
oh, yeah.
So was Ray. They were the ones that did the secret, and Proctor was the one that James just went on with his retreat, the next retreat.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh,
and
okay.
Proctor was the one that went into his hotel room and said, just cut it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to resolve this issue before you do anything else.
Yes.
And so that's what happened there. But it's I think that the people in Santa Fe, they're now saying there has to be, things to build sweat lodges, and they're going to have people come in and inspect. I bet they're just cringing because, I mean, there's all kinds of sweat lodges in out there in Arizona, all over the place.
Yeah.
Isn't there some amount of luck, too, we're going about luck, also
yeah.
for the Hamiltons, because the delay in the trial and the redefinition of some of this stuff is going to, I think, strengthen them as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So the thing helped both sides here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel, I've always felt a certain amount of sadness for
the
people who have the sweat lodge, because they didn't know what was coming. You know, that was, they probably actually thought that James Arthur Ray had some sort of, was a good guy. And not that he isn't. Everybody's good under the eyes of God, et cetera, but still, he lacks,
They had trouble with him, his work before there, and I think they were really thinking about canceling any further appointments with him because of it.
Yeah.
Well, they were talking about and comparing the fact that his retreat the year before, people were coming out in not being able to breathe and like that in 2000 the year before, and
yeah.
they said, and then they were saying, are these people, do the people, come out of any other sweat lodges that are held on Angel Valley Ranch like that? And they said no.
Mm-hmm.
They come out happy and bright, and the people that were worked there were testifying that only the improper use of the sweat lodge is creating that amount of heat inside the kiva, inside the whole structure. So, and telling people not to go, I agree with you, but I think it's bigger than that, Kate. I think if you are paying $10,000 and you have gone to a self-help guru for the amount of time that these people were his inside group, they were his spiritual warriors, that you have completely turned your story over to him.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you lose all sense of who you are.
Yourself, yeah.
And you're paying that amount of money for instant enlightenment. But he has brainwashed you in all of these lectures over and over and over and over again. So if you're in the dark and you can't breathe and they hear his voice, it's like God, and you don't go against God. I mean, that's the Sagittarius, him thinking he's God. And then they said when he came out, he sat in a chair, and the woman who was the doorkeeper, not on the dream team, not on his team, his team disappeared. This woman, Debbie Mercer, was on the door and said, there's three people laying in there, and went over to him and said, what am I to do? And he shrugged his shoulders. Now, you can take that shrug as him not caring, which a lot of people are saying, or you can take that shrug as, I don't know what to do. Two different ways. Obviously, a lot of people, that if somebody falls over or somebody gets, you go crazy and you go right over and go, hey, right? But this woman went around the back of the tent, had to cut it open, pull these people out. She's by herself, called her daughter finally, and she worked for Angel Valley. She did not work on his dream team. So here we are with God and all his apostles, and none of them stepped up to the plate. They went and hid. So
they saw how serious it was.
Well, yeah, and then you're sitting there going, "What the heck am I teaching? If in a crisis situation, everybody disappears, and I just sit here, and you're thinking, what am I teaching?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a tsunami here and nobody's moving.
Mm-hmm.
Except one little woman who had to get in a golf cart because there were no cell phones, drive all the way to her trailer on the property to get a call out to 911, which was wasted time. She herself had to go to the gate to let the medics in. This one little woman.
Yeah, I bet she wished that she could save their lives, and she probably felt that she couldn't.
Well, she came back out and said to him, they're not breathing. And he said, he didn't want to accept. I mean, I realize the fact that he didn't want to accept because, you know, it's self-centered, but he saw his career going down the toilet.
Well, it hasn't. That's the most amazing part. It hasn't gone down the toilet.
No, not yet.
If he somehow wins his trial, he will be Jesus Christ to his followers.
Or if he's convicted of murder and goes to jail for 20 years, that would be the end of that.
Well, it has to be manslaughter because, I mean.
It's not because it wasn't premeditated, yeah.
Well, yeah, certainly he didn't go in there to have people die, and certainly they didn't want to die. Certainly, you know, going full out or going the full route, those people did it. I mean, it's not.
They really did it.
I mean, they did the whole thing. And, if you're going by the esoteric spiritual sense of it, you would say there was a celebration in heaven.
Well, sure.
That these people were just lifted up, you know, and there was a great celebration there.
Why don't we talk about positive stuff in Aries? Talk about the double Aries that's really facing abundance now.
What the double Aries is facing?
Yeah.
Well, we have Jupiter in Aries. That means
And so she just came through that illness and whatnot, a really bad one, and now cleansing.
Who are we talking about?
Carol.
Carol.
Okay. Not a good thought. Let's go to something else, Joe. I just wanted to get off Michael Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to say that Carol is who you're referring to.
Yeah.
Carol Gascon?
No. Yes.
Okay. Carol, this is it. Matrix.
Don't you think that's appropriate?
It seems like the Aries are coming out of the woodwork now. The matrix energetics person that works got extremely, extremely ill. And, off the wall ill. She's the moon and sun in Aries, and she got sick. She couldn't even move from her bed. It was almost like a... And then her whole practice just dissolved around her.
Mm-hmm.
So what she called, we were talking, and Joanne was with her, And the whole thing is she has the moon and sun in Aries. I said, you're here to attract new energy now.
New energy.
And if you don't focus on this story of despair and losing all your old customers, the fact is that you are, and she put the phone down and she got three new customers within the hour.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that's how fast.
That's how it can work.
How fast it can work. It can work that fast for you in the law of attraction. And, you know, it's really interesting because they talk about the secret. The secret says you think it and you get it. It's not like that. It's a vibrational energy. You have to vibrate with your source and tune into it for anything to manifest. The point is we ask for something and we ask for something and we ask for something over and over again. The point of that is that we don't have it. So we're really focusing on not having it instead of the wonderful story. I think I've told it before. My mother was in the hospital and she wanted, I call it the toast story, she wanted a piece of toast.
Mm-hmm.
And she just was, oh, I need toast, I need toast. And this lovely little woman in the other bed said, come here. She said she's never getting her toast. And I said, why? She said, because she doesn't know how to pray, Sheila. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you only ask for it once.
Then you expect
she said, and then you expect it'll be here. And I have never, it was one of the greatest things I ever heard. And I walked
right
out
there,
of the hospital
right,
and I said, what a lesson, you know.
Right there at Lancaster General, huh?
Yes.
What a lesson. And
Well, the other thing about this, too, is we haven't run Tom's chart. But what's interesting to me is what is going to happen to him along this after this thing he's been through, because it's a really deep cleansing and reorienting and refocusing of who in the hell he is and what he's up to.
Well, I'm sure. He, Bahu, for anybody who wonders who Tom is, Tommaso Tom Harner, my husband, just went through this gallbladder scare where it almost ruptured, for heaven's sake. And we thought he would get out in the beginning of the week, but he just got home within the last half hour. He was sick for at least 2 weeks or a week and a half or so. But he's been having this gallbladder kick in periodically for the last 20 years.
Oh, no.
So when you talk about a new lease on life.
It's a big one. Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, it is. It is. He's been kind of ill off and on with this thing for 20 years, I'd say.
Well, I hope
that's particularly, I think, important considering the fact that you've been through this big, successful healing thing with Ulysses, with Yuli.
Oh, Yuli. He's amazing.
Yes.
And Ulysses the dog is almost died, and rightly should have, but he didn't. And he had cancer, and he was basically bleeding to death. And well, I put my mind to it.
Yes,
what
you did.
You put your
heart and your skills to it. That's what you did.
Yeah. Yes. And in the middle of the winter, when it was snow drifts and ice, and I was slipping around out there with him, trying to feed him liver, raw liver. And what he did finally eat was a hot dog, but that was after 2 or 3 weeks. But the thing is, I would sing to him. And I would sing and sing and sing, and he'd look at me, and he really was so sick. But he, you know, for some reason, we guess it was like another day, another moment with the dog, and suddenly he started to eat peanut butter biscuits and hot dogs, and then he did start eating the raw liver. And he needed to eat because he needed to get his strength back up, and his so he was doing pretty well. My favorite story was taking him over to the grotto,
yeah,
where the Mother Mary is. Emmitsburg is like the East Coast Lourdes of France. And he laid down in front of this beautiful mosaic of Guadalupe, lifted his leg to expose his tumor, and he laid there like that for a half hour.
Wow.
At least. And then he got up, and 4 days later he had the successful surgery because the tumor was completely encapsulated. And it was turning, and it was trying to die off with gangrene, which there's only a certain window of opportunity there because, you know, gangrene is not a good thing.
Yeah,
so it's really cool. The story is amazing. What a dog. What a dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and Tom's getting some good fallout from it.
Yeah, well, it's funny. 13 days after Ulysses' major abdominal surgery, then Tom has his.
Yeah.
But it stops right there because I'm done. I'm certainly not
interested.
We're done. That.
You feel well, don't you, Kate?
I feel very well. Very well. Thank you. My Mars is in Aries. I have Mars in Aries, so I think that keeps me going. Oh, that's funny. It keeps us going.
Well, you know, in American Idol, Steven Tyler is an Aries, and I think that they've completely, an Aries with all that Aries energy, but they have completely turned the show around. He's completely turned the show around with love, and it's just not his show where judges sit and yell at. They give good critique, good information, and they've raised the level of expectation on these contestants. And it is like
a much better show.
Oh, every single one of these people. I mean, you sit and they. I mean, all of them are going to be stars. I mean, they are just. It's like you. It's not like this one is bad and this one is good. It's like each one comes on and you're like, oh my gosh. And it was so interesting because J Lo said, you know, I know we're supposed to sit here and say bad things. That's what they told us we're to do. But it's hard to say bad things when everything's so good. When everybody that comes on the stage. So the level of, you know, I think what these shows do, like Dancing with the Stars, there is a level of expectations of these professional dancers when they get a person that's never danced before. Or
mm-hmm.
if you, when I used to work with people that couldn't dance, if you hold a level of expectation for somebody, they will rise up to it. The higher
yes.
the level of expectations, and what, not in a mean way, but in, with encouragement, and that's what Aries
yes.
is, an expectation, and saying,
yes.
you can do this. You can do whatever you want to do. And these people, you know, they may be fluff shows for some people, but these people show with encouragement and love what people can do. I mean, it's almost impossible to do the manner of dancing that is expected of these people, like these wrestlers and these football players and these people that have never danced in their life. But when you are in the field looking at that, it's a miracle. It's like a miracle. How can that be?
Yeah.
Of and, you know, I know that, you know, talking about, I will talk about it, Joanne, you can close your ears. Talking about Charlie Sheen, okay, he has,
oh,
you know,
guy.
He has
yeah.
his, you know, he is also the moon in Sagittarius. Well, the thing about Charlie Sheen is if you walk, and Whoopi Goldberg said, I'd never do it. You know, Whoopi Goldberg and Robin Williams and these people we don't see, but they go into comedy clubs to try out their acts. They don't
mm-hmm.
even go in front of all the of 1,000 people and try out their act. That's what Charlie Sheen did with his first show. And then everybody goes, that's going to kill him. Well, it didn't kill him. I'm like, on, he goes to the next town, right? And he gets a standing
mm-hmm.
ovation. Then he said, I'm going into Radio City Music Hall. Do you know how many people they see in Radio City Music Hall?
Yeah.
And he got booed, and he went that. So you have to go, whoa, huh? I mean, that is, there's a level of courage there that what would kill everybody else, that he's just going right through it and saying, and
yeah.
when he came off the stage, he said, well, that didn't go so well, but what about the next stop?
Yeah.
I mean, that is something that is to be admired in some way. That is something where you're going, okay, I could just lay down and do the way they want me to solve whatever. And I'm really interested in the children on American Idol because they're going into the people that are coaching them and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not right for me. It's never been seen on the show before.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, Casey Abrams, who is one of the most musical people I've ever seen, had played the bass, and they told him, you better not do that. And he said, that's what I have to do because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so did James Durbin. And then Jacob wanted to sing The Impossible Dream, which is my favorite song of all the time. And
yeah.
the coach said, that's a corny song. That is not a corny song. That is one of the best songs
guess,
of all time about courage to dream impossible dreams. Huh?
I guess to him it's corny, you know.
To him it's corny.
Well,
yeah.
You know. Okay. I do want to say one word. Elizabeth Taylor did pass. And
yes.
She made her transition.
The whole
I
thing,
love her.
Yes.
Yeah.
We
love
were,
her.
It's Piscean, Sun in Pisces, Mercury in Pisces, a base of the chart. She was born at 2:11 a.m. and in London, and what she has in the belly of the whale of the chart, as you call it, is total compassion. She was the first one that stood up for HIV.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody turned their back, but Barry Manilow, and said they wouldn't do her thing. Barry Manilow, she called him, and he said, "I'll do it." She is the one that became the face of that epidemic. She became the face of it, and everybody thought it was because of Rock Hudson, but it was not. She became the face of AIDS before Rock Hudson, and people don't know that. It wasn't Rock Hudson that caused that. It was that a lot of the friends, her friends, were contracting this disease, and
yeah.
she was the one that decided that was her life mission.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
Well, it was really bad at that time because I was in clinical training at the hospital at the time,
mm-hmm.
clinical pastoral training, and it was quite a sensation for me to go into the room and shake the patient's hand. Because
mm-hmm.
the thing was, the nurses, they were afraid to touch him. They had put on these elaborate protective costumes on to go in, and just shaking his hand was an act of courage, for God's sake.
Yes.
And we have a good friend, Betty Finney, Dr. Finney, who started the AIDS House here, and she said when she would walk in the hospital, their food would be sitting in the hall.
Yeah, because nobody would go in deliver it.
And she would say, what are you doing? And they'd say, oh, we can't go in there and feed them. And Betty would have to pick up the trays and go into the rooms and feed the patients because the nurses wouldn't do it.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah, it was... So when she... When she passed on March the 23rd, her moon was in Scorpio on top of her natal moon. So when you see a moon lined up with a natal moon out of the whole zodiac, you know that that's a direct going from what I call the moon, the environment, what we put around you. What you put around you is the moon. So when you see the moon lined up with the moon, you know that one environment has just lifted you into another one.
Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, and so the angels came and just lifted her into the other environment. And she told the stories about the one she died and saw the light and was turned around and said, it's not your time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that Elizabeth Taylor was afraid of transcending. A lot of people that talk about transcending experiences, they don't become afraid of death anymore.
No, that's right.
So, you know, Shirley MacLaine was on, and the wonderful thing that she said on television, if anybody heard her, was she said, you know, a war, if they really knew that none of them died, war would just stop because they wouldn't be getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And the other lovely thing was Oprah Winfrey said, have you ever seen an alien? And she looked at her and said, I might be looking at one right now.
I love that. I mean, because Shirley MacLaine is really into aliens deeply.
Yes, she's into UFOs, and she says she sees them out in Santa Fe where she lives. And she said, and Oprah said, well, people, she said, I don't care what other people think. She said, you don't get that by now.
I know, isn't that the truth?
She said, it's my experience of what I've journeyed and what I've lived through is my perception. And, you know, what I'm saying, it's the hardest thing, it's the hardest thing to get somebody to believe an unfamiliar truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
mm-hmm.
the hardest thing that you can ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will defend it and justify not believing it, and that's the way it works, you know. They do not want to believe in unfamiliar truth.
What
so,
is Shirley MacLaine's birthday?
Shirley MacLaine, you know, I had it. I wish I would have done that. I didn't. I have it. I know that Barbara Streisand's a Taurus. I don't know, so I'm not going to. I'll have to run it.
Now, Elizabeth Taylor, let's get back to her. She, since you have done her chart, she's well known for her standing up for the downtrodden, I would think. In my opinion, Michael Jackson got a bad deal. In my opinion, he was set up.
Yep.
She stood by him the whole time, you know?
Yep.
And she
and
stood
the other
by
thing,
people.
Kate, that you would be so drawn toward her is for what? She stood up for animals.
Oh, my gosh,
oh, my
yes.
God, yeah.
And she was a big, she was huge with the animal cause.
Like all the whole animal, or
yeah.
she mm-hmm. had dogs. She had little dogs. Didn't she have little dogs?
She had little dogs and horses. She was, you know, that's how she got hurt, jumping that horse. That's how she hurt her spine.
Her back, yeah.
But she talked to horses, she said, and communicated with horses. And of course she did, because she's the Piscean sun with a moon in Scorpio.
And
her children
seem to really love her.
Oh, yeah.
She was a great mother and
yes.
a great mother
yes.
and a loyal friend. I mean, the things people said about her were just, she just, yeah.
I bet. Well, you know, we've turned off television. I've turned off my Comcast TV. I wish I had seen some of that. So I guess I could just look for
it on
the internet.
Get it online.
You can
go to
Oprah Winfrey this week, Shirley MacLaine Show, and get it online.
Show.
No, it's an Oprah Winfrey Show, and it was the Shirley MacLaine interview. It'll
be.
You
know what? I'm going to watch that. That's
yes,
so cool.
I think it was worth watching. No kidding.
Yes, we. She did her first seminar in
Virginia Beach.
In Virginia Beach, spiritual awareness, and Joanne and you know, I don't go to a lot of them, and I said I'm going, and Joanne said, oh, and I said we're going, and so we went, and it was I don't know, but you know, Delaney lives in Virginia Beach, right? And
I don't think he was there then.
He wasn't there, but it never snows in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing this, and she's doing her thing, and she got up on the stage, and she said, we'll break for afternoon, you know, and she's an actress. And
yes.
She thought that the audience would just walk out. I said, they went toward her. They went toward this.
They just avalanched toward her.
Toward this platform, and I looked at Joanne and said, that'll never happen again. And Joanne said, what's going to happen? I said, watch what happens tonight. So she brought on the meditation, and everybody's meditating, and she danced out the aisle.
And was standing by the door when it was over.
Standing by the door. So we had a blizzard. We had a blizzard, which you never have, and we were all snowed in, and all the electricity went off in the place, in this hotel. And so she was there standing in the lobby, and this, you know, these women were floating around her, and the woman said, I got stuck in the elevator last night. And she said, oh, my gosh, Ms. McLean. She said, I didn't know what to do. What would you have done in the elevator if you were stuck in the elevator? And she said, I would have been scared as hell and yelled like you would never hear before. It was and this woman expected this esoteric answer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was a brilliant seminar. It was really, wasn't it, Joanne?
Well, she gave a tour of those, and then she stopped. And I understood why she stopped, because we've been to retreats before. And what she was...
Are you guys still there? Whoops, we lost you. Maybe you can call back. Because Shirley MacLaine is really one of my favorites. Let's see. I have never seen her, but I certainly enjoyed her tapes on meditation, her videos on meditation, which we watched many a time. She actually was the single person, the very first person, who introduced me to chakra therapy. And chakras, she had this beautiful video of all the seven chakras with the not only the colors that are associated with it, but the tones of each chakra and how if you you can heal not only with the color but with the tone and the sound of each energy center. Well, we might have to cut this show short, and it's not that short. We have 6 minutes remaining. I can wait a few minutes to see if we have a call back. So Sheila and Joanne can say goodbye or hello, because it's all one. My husband was in the hospital this week, so I had to cancel Tuesday's show, and here we are tonight on Thursday. Hello, back again. We got cut off. Shirley MacLaine stopped doing those sorts of things, I guess.
Yes. Well, Joanne got off, so she's off the phone now. So it was very funny. We got the voice saying, you are disconnected.
Yes.
And I said,
well, I thought you should just come back, which you did, and we can put a suitable ending to the show. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to just say this because I think it's a lovely story. People send me stories all the time, so it's just lovely. And this is talking about addiction. And Barry had been in recovery for a long period of time, to make a long story short. And although Barry had not taken any drugs or alcohol for ages, I noticed he'd forgotten his soul trip. And by forgetting his soul, his way of connecting with the world was then he said, I am an addict. So one day I talked with him in a regular therapy session and asked him about his plans for the future. I can't think about the future, Barry said. I'm an addict. and I have to take each day as it comes. I'm really stuck. It doesn't matter how many years I'm clean and sober. Well, then I said to him, maybe you're not an addict anymore, I suggested. Barragat's face got very red with anger. He shouted and screamed, then you're not a doctor. I immediately stood up and took off my white lab coat and said, okay, I'm a human being. What are you? He said, I'm a human being too. And with that statement, Barry made a breakthrough. He re-identified himself, the essential self, and let go of the addict identification that helped him through the crisis of withdrawal, and noticed how much of the recovery process focused on his first identification. And so when you say, I am Jane and I am an alcoholic, but that it's useful initially. It tends to localize the problem. But then the secondary problem is when the soul identity of the individual is labeled with that for years and years. I thought that was...
You know what? I love that. That's my main problem with Alcoholics Anonymous in the end. But in the beginning, it's
uh-huh.
a very important thing
yeah.
to own up to something that you've been in denial about for so many years.
Sure.
But then... it becomes very old. It's almost like you've become a victim.
Yeah,
to the disease. I've seen people become victims of any number of different diseases. For instance,
yeah.
it doesn't really matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just say arthritis is a good one.
Yes.
I have arthritis, or I'm old. I'm old. That's a good one.
And I have one in here today. I'm bipolar.
There you are. I'm bipolar, yeah.
And I said to
yeah.
her, I said, you know what? You have a convenient disease. I said, what happens when you're working? And then you work too hard, and then all of a sudden you're bipolar. How does that work? She said, what?
Yeah.
I said, that's called a convenient disease. Every time you want to rest, you just say, I'm bipolar, right?
It's why people don't heal, as Carolyn Mace pointed out in that wonderful book, Why People
yeah.
Don't Heal. The reason they don't heal is because they're hanging on to these victim diagnosis labels.
Yes.
And alcoholism is a good one, really, a good one. People stay in those meetings for 35, 40 years. If they're lucky, they're part of the 3% of the 3% of the alcoholic population who die sober. 3%.
Yes.
Of alcoholics die sober.
And now we're saying the definition of why the people stayed in the tent, because they were addicted to him.
Yeah.
They were addicted to what he said, and he said, and what he was saying. Now that's not totally his fault, but it's still a factor, you know. $10,000 and going to him like that, you're addicted to that. You're
yes.
addicted to an outside force that is telling your story that you can do this other story.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you always have to watch. I mean, when you go to a shrink, you go to, and they're very good, and I'm not saying anything against them, but you have to watch that you don't give them your story and they redefine it. Because
or you become dependent on them
mm-hmm.
instead of listening to your own inner direction as Mercury retrograde would have us do.
Well, yeah, that's we are talking about Mercury retrograde. Okay, sweetie.
Love you.
Well, you know that the whole thing went off. See, that was Mercury retrograde right there in the show. We lost connection. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So I had to just do impromptu yakking.
Well, you're good at that, Kate.
Okay.
Bye, Angel.
I love you.
Love you. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.